Welcome to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. We are on chapter 4, and as is our practice, we will chant all the verses of this chapter together.
Hare
Krishna. So first of all, it gives me great pleasure to welcome a group of devotees who have come from the holy land of Vrindavan, from our ISKCON temple in Vrindavan. As you are aware, in this December month, it is a month where in all temples in the world, we give a lot of emphasis on distribution of books. And all devotees do a marathon. So devotees go to various places, not only in their respective towns but also outside. Like brahmacharis from here have gone to various places in Karnataka in the bus, temple bus or in the jeep. Similarly from other temples. So the bus party, book distribution bus party from Vrindavan has been traveling all over the country, and they have descended on Belgaum to benedict us, to bless us with their presence. So we are very happy that they have come in a group led by Vaishnava Prabhu and others. So we should all welcome them by chanting Hari Bol 3 times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So we will begin our discussion on chapter 4. The last two Saturdays, we have been on the same verse, Jatam Guna Karma Vibhagashah, or rather, shall we say, practically on half a verse. We have discussed this Varnashram system at length. We have discussed what it really means, how it is such a natural classification existing in all of human society, all over the world, at all times in the past, and how this is the actual dharma of the human society. The Varnashram dharma has later on come to be known as the so-called Hindu dharma, but as we saw, there is nothing like Hindu, really speaking. It is originally the Varnashram dharma. The purpose of this dharma is to facilitate the spiritual development of all human beings. So there are rules and regulations to be followed for people who are influenced differently by the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. And according to how these gunas influence people, they are classified according to the four varnas, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras. And therefore, each of them has certain prescribed duties to perform according to the natures that they have acquired under the influence of these three modes. And by performing these prescribed duties as an offering unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, gradually they make spiritual advancement. And in this way, they can perfect their lives. This is the only way a society can be stable and spiritually progressive. We also discussed the various qualities and activities of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and how according to their natures they have different propensities to act and think. We also saw that today what we see is a very distorted version of that original Varnashram dharma. Today, what we see is the perverted caste system, so-called caste system, which is actually Asuri Varnashram. It is a demoniac form of the original Varnashram system. In today's perverted system, birth is given the most importance. We have seen that although birth has some significance, in the sense that it is acquired out of one's past karma in the previous lives, and also that it gives one an opportunity and an atmosphere to develop the same qualities as the family in which one is born, yet the birth is not the overriding factor for determining whether one will be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. What is the determining factor? We have seen that Lord Krishna has explained guna karma vibhagashah. Under what guna, sattva, rajas or tamas, is the person influenced? And according to that, what are his karma or activities? So that is ultimately the deciding factor. We have also seen that one may be born in a particular kind of family of a particular varna, but if one has acquired the qualities and is performing the activities of another varna, then he is known by that varna, not the varna of his birth. We have seen the example of which king, whose sons were of different varnas? Do you remember? Rishabdev. He had 100 sons, and some of them were Kshatriyas, some were Brahmanas, and some were Paramahansas. We also discussed last time that Krishna, as explained here, tasya kartaram, that I am the creator of this system. But he says, although I am the creator, api, even though I am the creator, he says, I am still the non-doer. That means he is not affected by the Varnashram Dharma when he comes here, this material world. The Lord appears in the human society in many different forms, sometimes original form as Krishna, sometimes in his other expansions and forms like Lord Ram and so on. And whenever he appears in human society in these various forms, he follows, generally speaking, the prescribed duties and activities of the particular varna in which he appears. Like Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, because they appeared in Kshatriya families, at least Lord Krishna acted in that way in Dwarka Leela. So then they acted like Kshatriyas. We also saw that Lord Krishna, when he was in Vrindavan, he was acting like a Vaishya. Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Subhavajam, because Goraksha is the work of a Vaishya. Or he also followed the principles of the ashram. He went to Gurukul as a Brahmachari. As a Grihastha, he performed his worldly duties very, very nicely. So the Lord, even though he appears and follows the rules and regulations of the Shastra in respect of Varnashram Dharma, but still he always remains the transcendental Lord. He is not obliged to perform these activities and duties. In fact, he has nothing to gain by performing it. Human beings are meant to perform it for spiritual elevation. But the Supreme Lord does not need to be spiritually elevated. He is not obliged to perform any duties. Therefore, Lord Krishna has no need, but still he performs, just to set an example. And when the Lord appears, he appears often in a Kshatriya family. Because as a Kshatriya, then he has to destroy the miscreants. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So he has to also save the sadhus. And dharma samsthapanarthaya. Sometimes the establishment of religious principles needs the sword. It needs violence, sometimes. So therefore the Lord also comes as a Kshatriya to sometimes establish the principles of dharma by the sword. Now, we come to another important point today, and that is that just as Lord Krishna is spiritual, he is totally beyond the Varnashram Dharma, which is a material division pertaining to the material body and the three gunas. So Lord Krishna is beyond this classification. Similarly, the Vaishnavas, Lord Krishna, are also beyond Varnashrama, because they are also on the transcendental platform, on the spiritual platform. Why is that? Because they are in touch with Krishna. Just like an iron rod in touch with the fire acquires the properties of fire, similarly Because a devotee is in touch with Krishna by various forms of devotional service, so he also becomes spiritualized. He attains the same spiritual quality as Krishna. Although he doesn't become Krishna, he doesn't become God, but he acquires the same spiritual nature as Krishna. And therefore, he also is spiritual. He is beyond the three modes of material nature. One who is constantly serving the Supreme Lord without falling down, he is considered to be on the Brahma Bhuta platform, the spiritual platform. Actually speaking, this is a very, very important point which is misunderstood in the world even today. There are different kinds of brahmanas, different levels of brahmanas. In the shastras it has been described, janmana jayate shudra sanskaradhi bhavedvija vedapathad bhavedviprah brahma janati iti brahmanah. By birth everyone is a shudra, because one has not undergone any purificatory ceremonies, any samskaras. Samskar means that which is performed to purify. Dashavidha samskar. There are many samskars to be performed, like the Garbhadhana samskar, which is supposed to be performed before a child is conceived. Then there is the so many others, Jata karma, Nama karana, Chuda mundana, Chuda karana, the Vivaha samskar, Shraddha, like that. There are many, many samskars to be performed. There are 10 major ones and many, many other minor samskars to be performed. So according to Varnashram system, all the three varnas have to perform samskaras except the Shudras. The other three, they perform the samskaras and then they attain the quality of their particular varna. The purification has to be done after birth. So at birth, because no purification has been done, everyone is a Shudra. Sanskara adhi bhaved dvijaha. So a person who is born in a Brahmin family or who is a Brahmana by qualification, when Diksha from his Guru, traditionally this means the Upanayan Sanskar, when he accepted the Yajnopavit from his Guru, the sacred thread ceremony, then he would be called a Dvija. Dvi means twice, Ja means born, so the twice born. So at the time of the Diksha, the Guru becomes the father and the Vedas become the mother of the disciple. In this way, it is called a second birth. There is the birth that is a biological birth, and then there is a birth that comes out of Diksha. So then he becomes a Dvija, as twice born. But that is not sufficient. He must learn the Vedas, he must learn the scripture. Veda Parthad Bhaved Vipro. Then when such a Dvija has learned the Shastras, then he becomes a Vipra, a learned Brahman. But being a learned Brahmana is not sufficient. One should actually realize the truth. One should realize Brahma, the absolute truth. So Brahma Janati Iti Brahmanaha. So then one is called a Brahmana. Brahmana means one who has understood Brahma. Brahma means the absolute truth. So generally speaking, even those Brahmanas who are on this platform, they have generally realized only the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti. But those few fortunate ones among them actually realize Bhagavan, who become devotees of the Lord, are considered supreme. They are superior. Those who realize the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, they understand God to be a person and they become his pure devotees, they are Vaishnav Brahmins. And the others are simply Brahmanas. There are many Brahmanas who are caste Brahmanas, who are very ritualistic in their nature. They perform rituals for the sake of performing rituals. And they may be doing so many of their activities, their prescribed duties, but they have lost sight of the ultimate purpose. And the purpose is that they must develop pure love for the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. that understanding has been lost. They are not clear in the objective of performing all these rules and regulations. Or at best, they may have the idea of Brahma, of merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So such Brahmanas are called Smartha Brahmanas. And as opposed to them, there are the Vaishnava Brahmanas. Those Brahmanas, born in Brahmana families, who have realized the Lord by devotional service, so they are considered superior. Now, even if a devotee is not born in a Brahman family, because he has become a devotee, he still becomes superior to a Smartha Brahman by virtue of his devotional quality. This is a very, very important point. Shat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadah avaishnava guru na syat vaishnava shvapacho guruhu. Even if a Brahmana, that is a person born in a Brahman family, shat karma, he has six kinds of activities to perform. Patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, pratigraha, like that. So if he performs these six kinds of activities very perfectly, shat karma nipuno, he's nipuna, he's expert in these six kinds, vipraha, and he's very learned. Mantra tantra visharadaha, he is also very proficient and expert in various kinds of chanting of mantras and shlokas and various other kinds of modes of worship and so on, puja and all that. But he is an avaishnava. He is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. Then guru na syat. He can't become a guru. He can't lead other people. But if there is a shvapacha, shva means a dog, pacha means eater. So one who eats the meat of a dog, considered the lowest category of people, they are called chandal. They are even below the shudras. There are several categories who are so low that they are not even counted as part of the varnashram system. Like you have Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudra, and then even below them we have the Mlecha, Yavana, Chandal, etc. Mlechas and Yavanas basically are those who are meat eaters, who don't follow any scriptural injunctions, who are very violent. And chandal is even lower because they eat the meat of a dog. But if such a chandal, shvapacha, he becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna, then he becomes a guru, he is qualified to be a guru. So this is the nature of devotional service. That one who somehow or the other comes in contact with Krishna through devotional service, he automatically becomes superior to even Brahmanas. Just some time before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was one particular pastime that occurred between two of his great devotees. One was called Advaita Acharya, who later on met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became a very intimate associate of his, and Haridas Thakur, who was called the great Acharya of the holy name, because he would chant the holy name for 21 hours every day. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the title of Namacharya, the Acharya of chanting the Lord's names. So when Advaita Acharya had Shraddha to perform for his father, departed forefathers, it was a custom that one should call Brahmanas to one's house and feed them. And so he invited Haridas Thakur. Now interestingly, Haridas Thakur had been born in a Muslim family, in a Yavana family. But because of his devotion to Lord Krishna from childhood, he was on the topmost Vaishnava platform. So when Advaita Acharya invited him, Haridas Thakur became a little embarrassed. He said, "I am a most fallen person, not only by quality but also by birth. So you should be calling Brahmanas for this ceremony and feeding them. By calling me to your home for the Shraddha, it is not proper." So Advaita Acharya explained to him by quoting from the Shastras. We do not have time today to discuss that discussion. But by quoting various verses from the Shastra, he demonstrated how a Vaishnava is superior to a Brahmana. And then finally Haridas Thakur had to submit, and then he accepted prasadam at the house of Vaishnava Acharya, of Vaishnava Advaita Acharya. So in this way we see that the system puts one on a very, very high platform, even beyond Brahmanas. There is another story that comes to mind in relation to a great Vaishnava Acharya who appeared in Bengal a couple of hundred years ago, and his name was Narottam Das Thakur. He was actually born as a son of a king called King Krishnananda. King Krishnananda, his family was considered by the Brahmanas to be a lower caste family, something like a Shudra, although they were in a powerful position. But Narottam Das, he left his house at a very young age to devote his life to Lord Krishna. He exhibited great symptoms of devotion even from childhood. Actually, he is one of the eternal associates of the Lord. The Lord, time to time, sends such great exalted eternal associates of His into this world to teach us by their example. So, he left home and he became a great Acharya. And because of his prowess, his devotional purity, and his great effulgence, many, many people from different parts became attracted, and they accepted him as their guru and savior and took shelter of him. When this started happening, naturally, as you know, when somebody starts becoming very popular and famous, there are many people who become envious. This happens for all great devotees. In history, we have seen anyone who has become famous and great in devotional service, actually not only in devotional service, in any area. But in devotional service, we see this happening all the more. Haridas Thakur also, he became so powerful, so great, so respected and well known, but so many people became his enemies. Similarly with Narottam Das Thakur, the Brahmana community became very much envious of him. Why? Because they saw that many people born in Brahmana families who were respectable Brahmanas were taking initiation, diksha from him and accepting Narottam Das Thakur as a guru. And there was great a Brahmana community. And they started discussing amongst each other that the Brahmanas are supposed to be the guru of the whole society. So how is it that now the Brahmanas are becoming the disciples of Shudras? This will destroy our society. So the man, whose name was Raja Narsingha, and they complained to him that if this continues, if this Narottam Das is allowed to flourish like this, then it will harm our whole society, it will destroy our dharma, it will destroy our Brahminical culture. So you must do something about it. So the king asked the Brahmanas, yes, I want to help you. So please tell me, what should be done? What can I do for you? So the Brahmana said, we have a plan. There is a great Mahadigvijay Pandit called Roop Narayan. He is a great scholar, great Brahmana. And wherever he travels, he has engaged in debates with many, many other scholars and easily defeated them. In this way, he has acquired the reputation of being a Mahadigvijayi, worldwide conqueror. He is a conqueror of the world in terms of learning of the Shastras and debate as far as knowledge of grammar and logic and so on is concerned. So we will call him, we will travel with him in a procession to Kheturi Gram, which is the place of Narottam Das, and we will engage Narottam Das in debate with Roop Narayan, and naturally Roop Narayan will very easily defeat Narottam Das. He will humiliate him, and then the pride of Narottam Das and his followers will be finished. So the king said, I will also accompany you in this party. And the party commenced its journey. On the way, they had to halt at several places. And somehow, word reached some disciples of Narottam Das. What prompted these people to become more envious was that just recently two very well-known Brahmanas had become disciples of Narottam Das. One was called Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. He was a very well-known Brahman, very great scholar. And he became influenced by Narottam Das immediately and took shelter of him. There was another Brahman called Jagannath Acharya. He used to worship Durga. And one day Durga Devi appeared in his dream and instructed him to go and take shelter of Narottam Das. So he also did that. At this time the Brahmanas took the step of going to the king. So the news reached these disciples of Narottam Das that the Brahmanas along with the king are planning such a thing to humiliate Narottam Das. So two of the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, one of them Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and the other another great Vaishnava called Ramachandra Kaviraj, both of them, they decided that something should be done. So they found out the route along which this group was going to come, and they also came to know that this group would halt at a particular village for the night. So very quickly they went to that village in advance, and approximately at the point where this party would halt for the night, they put up two shops. One of them kept pots, mud pots in his shop, and the other became a seller of paan, betel nut. And soon this party came of Brahmanas and the king, Krishnananda. It was Raja Narasingha, I beg your pardon. So they came there, and naturally they wanted to start cooking for the night. So they wanted to purchase the mud pots. So they came to the shop of this Brahmana. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was there in disguise as a shopkeeper. And they also wanted paan, because after their dinner they wanted to eat paan. So they also had to go to the other shop. Very conveniently these two shops were located there. So when the Brahmanas, they came to the shop of the potter, who they thought was a potter, who was selling mud pots, then this potter started speaking to them in pure fluent Sanskrit. The Brahmanas were taken aback. A potter is speaking Sanskrit? And then not only that, the potter started discussing some philosophy and some grammar and all the logic and all that with them. And he started engaging in debate with them. The Brahmanas were very taken aback. But anyway, they got into argument. And very soon, those Brahmanas who had gone to purchase pots, they were defeated. Similarly, those who had gone to purchase betel nut, they also were defeated, because even Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was in the other shop, he also started speaking in pure fluent Sanskrit and engaged them in debate and defeated them. So these Brahmanas who had come to these two shops, they hurried back to their camp and they informed the leaders of the Brahmanas, this is what has happened. So all the Brahmanas came, and then there was a huge debate, noisy debate going on. And finally Rup Narayan came, and these two, the potter who was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and betel nut seller who was Ramachandra Kaviraj, they both defeated these Brahmanas thoroughly, and including Rup Narayan, the Mahadigvijayi Pandit. So at that time the king Narsingadev, Narsinghananda, was watching with amazement. And then after Rup Narayan was defeated, he turned around to the leaders of the Brahmanas and said that I have heard that these two are disciples of the great Narottam Das. If the disciples are so great, so learned, that they can defeat your Rup Narayan, what will happen if you go to the Guru? So you better go from here. So all the Brahmanas fled. And they went away in great fear, fearing humiliation. So we can see that great Vaishnavas like Narottam Das Thakur, although they may not be born in Brahmana families, but because of their great purity and devotion, they attract people from all Varnas to come. And great exalted Brahmanas also became his disciples. Which goes to show that spiritual advancement or the qualification for the Guru is not based upon birth. It is based upon one's spiritual qualification. Even Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that even if one has acquired the 12 qualifications of a Brahmana, as explained in the Shastras, if one is not a devotee, then one cannot deliver even himself. But if a person who is not born in a Brahmin family becomes a devotee, he can deliver his whole family. Actually, Prahlad says it another place that not only family, a Vaishnava delivers 21 generations. 7 generations before, 7 generations after. And in 3 lives, this life, the previous 2 lives. So he delivers so many generations of those who are related to him, simply because he is a Vaishnava. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was the spiritual master, the guru of the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, he spoke very strongly on this subject. One time his father, the great Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who was also a great Acharya in our parampara, he was invited to a particular seminar where many, many Brahmanas had gathered. And unfortunately, he fell ill. So he was wondering what to do. Then he asked his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was then only a very young man, and he had not yet acquired this title of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So he asked him to go there and represent him and speak. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did that. He went and spoke on the subject of Brahmana and Vaishnava. Initially, he glorified Brahmins like anything, and all the Brahmins assembled there were very happy to hear, yes, how right he is. He started picking out all the verses in the scriptures that glorify Brahmins and show how great the Brahmanas are, and like this. He went on and on. And all the Brahmanas are feeling very happy. Yes, absolutely. How wise he is. He has understood how great we are. And then slowly he started pointing out the meaning of a real Brahmin. What does it mean to be a real Brahmana? And then he established that being a Brahmana is not a matter of birth. It's a matter of quality and guna. And he quoted verses after verses from the Shastra to establish that actually a devotee of Lord Krishna, even if he's not born in a Brahmin family, is superior to a Brahmin. So what to speak of Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra? And then at this time there was a great uproar in the assembly. And many, many thousands of people flocked to Bhakti Siddhanta and became his followers. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood that at that time there was a great misunderstanding about Brahmanas. At that time it was even more than today. And anyone who was born in a Brahmin family was considered a Brahmana regardless of his qualities. And those who became devotees of Lord Krishna, if they happened to be born in so-called lower caste families, then they were looked down upon. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was concerned about this. He wanted to establish to the society that a Vaishnava being in touch with Krishna is on the spiritual platform. And you should not see a devotee from a material point of view. That means you should not think, oh, this Vaishnava, he is from a lower caste. That Vaishnava, that devotee is from a high caste. This Vaishnava is very good looking. That Vaishnava doesn't have good bodily features. This Vaishnava is not intelligent. These are all material things, material ways of looking. Just like the Ganges is ever pure. Even if there is a lot of dirt in the Ganges, those who are wise, they will take bath in the Ganges nevertheless. Similarly, a Vaishnava is to be always respected, even though he may have the so-called defect from worldly vision of being born in a so-called lower family or a so-called lower caste, or he may have some other defects. But one should not see a devotee from this point of view. So in order to establish in the society and to send a message out everywhere that a devotee is superior to a Brahmin, at least he is equal to a Brahmin, he introduced two important ideas into the community of Vaishnavas which were not existing before. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were residing in many parts, especially Vrindavan, parts of Bengal, Orissa and so on, the teachings had also deteriorated a lot. And Bhaktivinod Thakur, the father of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, had come and established his teachings again, but a lot of work remained to be done. So at this time, the Vaishnavas, they were only what was called Babajis. They were living in Vrindavan or in Mayapur or in some holy place, and they would only wear white. They would not accept the sannyas order officially, formally, and they would just do their bhajan of Lord Krishna. They would chant his names, they would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, worship him and so on. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for his disciples, he first of all introduced the sacred thread for Vaishnavas, the sacred thread, Yajnopavit. And the second, he introduced the Gayatri Mantra, the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. Both of these are things that take place for Vedic born Brahmanas. There are two systems or two vidhis. One is called the Vedic Vidhi, the Vedic system, by which a person who is born in a Brahmin family, he becomes actually treated as a Brahmana, and then he undergoes the Upanayan Diksha, the thread ceremony exercise. In this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for his disciples and for the Vaishnavas, he started these two practices. He introduced two dikshas, not one. The first diksha or the initiation he called as Harinam Diksha. That was a very, very simple diksha. It was not really a diksha at all. It was just some kind of commitment that the person would try to follow. And at that time, the disciple began to chant some names of the Mahamantra. He would chant 16 rounds. He would begin to chant if he was not already chanting. And perhaps he was given a name, a new name. But it was not such a serious thing. It was not like a vow. And then he gave the real diksha, at which time he would award the sacred thread to the men, and to he would also give the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, which was generally supposed to be chanted only by those who were in Brahmana families. But even those Vaishnavas who were born in other Varnas, he did this for them also. The caste Brahmanas became outraged. They criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a lot. But he remained firm. And therefore he started these to establish that a Vaishnava is at least to be considered a Brahmin. Don't consider him by birth to be lower. And Srila Prabhupada, he went one step further. He went to America in 1965. He wanted to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So what did he do? He saw that in the Western countries, women were playing a very dominating role, and it was not like India. So he also gave Brahman Diksha to ladies. He gave them the Gayatri Mantra also, which traditionally in Brahmana circles was not done. Traditionally, ladies would not chant the Gayatri Mantra, only the men would chant. So in this way, he introduced this change. And he introduced a further change, that in the first diksha, he made that also very serious, Harinam Diksha. And at that time, the disciple, he had to take a vow that he would chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mantra, and he would follow the four regulative principles: no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And presently in ISKCON, we have the rule that anyone who wishes to take Harinam Diksha must have been doing this at least for 1 year, sometimes more, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 3 years, but at least for 1 year one must be chanting 16 rounds every day regularly and following the four regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada had to introduce this because in the modern world it is very common for people not only abroad but even in India to violate the four regulative principles. So therefore the Harinam Diksha became a very serious thing. And then the second Diksha was called the Brahman Diksha. In ISKCON it is called the Brahman Diksha. When anyone who has got the first initiation, if he has exhibited proper spiritual conduct in the next period of a year or two or three, then he is awarded this Brahmanical Diksha. The males are awarded a sacred thread, regardless of what birth they come from, and the ladies and the men are given the Gayatri Mantra. What is popularly known as the Gayatri Mantra is only one Gayatri Mantra. There are many, many Gayatri Mantras. So, in the Vaishnava community, we chant many Gayatri Mantras every day. And only the first one is what is commonly called the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. The Brahma Gayatri Mantra is chanted to demonstrate that the Vaishnavas are also superior to Brahmanas. And the other Gayatri Mantras that are chanted are basically purely devotional Gayatri Mantras. They are meant for invoking pure devotion to Lord Krishna. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is now following in the footsteps of his spiritual master and following the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the conclusions of the Shastra, established a system to create Vaishnava Brahmanas. Vaishnavas who, regardless of their place and time of birth and community of birth, they can be, if spiritually qualified, Brahmanas. And such Brahmanas are superior to Brahmanas who claim Brahmanical status not by quality or activity but simply by birth. So we can understand that really speaking, a Vaishnava is very, very special in this world and therefore is considered superior to the Varnashram system. He is beyond the Varnashram system. Actually, a Vaishnava can act in any of these four Varnas for the service of Krishna. A devotee of the Lord is willing to do anything to serve the Lord. So we find that in the temple, for example, even if a devotee has taken second Diksha and is a so-called Brahman, he will still clean the toilets, which is the work of a Shudra. He will sweep the floor of the temple, which is the work of a Shudra. He will go and give a lecture, which is the work of a Brahmana. He will talk on the scriptures. He will perform yajna, which is the work of a Brahmana. He will offer worship to the deities, which is the work of a Brahmana. Sometimes he may sit and check the accounts of the temple and take cash and receive cash, which is the work of a Vaishya. The same person may do all these activities. Sometimes he may have to do management, organization, discipline, which is the work of a Kshatriya. So a devotee can perform all these functions, which are actually activities to be performed by these four Varnas. But he can do it because he is serving Krishna, being on the spiritual platform. When one is on the spiritual platform, one can interchange one's activities. Just like Parashuram was a Brahmana. But being on the spiritual platform, when a need arose, he could act like a Kshatriya. And he did. Similarly, Vishwamitra Muni was a Kshatriya. But when he rose to the spiritual platform, although he initially was not, then he could act as a Brahmana. So in this way, a devotee of Lord Krishna can perform the functions of any Varna. Nowadays in Kali Yuga, as we have discussed last time, Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Everybody is a Shudra, practically speaking. Very, very few have Brahmanical qualities. And the atmosphere is so polluted that it is very difficult nowadays for real Brahmanas to come up in the Vedic system, real Kshatriyas, real Vaishyas to come up even real Shudras, it is very difficult. Because the requirements of a Shudra are also very great. Shudras, for example, are meant to be faithful followers. They are meant to be faithfully serving their masters. They are meant to be hardworking. But today, we find no servant is faithful, practically. You go to any place, the employees or servants are always trying to find some opportunity to escape work, or they want higher salary, they will go for strike, or they will try to escape work in some way. They will try to cheat on the master in some way. So this kind of thing goes on. In Kali Yuga, even Shudras are not proper Shudras. Everyone is unhappy. Everyone is dissatisfied with the master. The master is not a proper master, and the servant is not a proper servant in Kali Yuga. But in the earlier ages, we find the Shudras, they were well looked after by the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. They gave them protection. They looked after their every need. And therefore, the Shudras also served them very nicely. But nowadays, everything has collapsed to such a degree, even in this beginning of Kali Yuga, that to re-establish the original Varnashram Dharma is going to be very difficult, practically impossible. Therefore, what is the hope? The only hope is to make the society a society of devotees. Straight lift them to... straight lift them to the Vaishnava platform, the spiritual platform, by adhering to certain rules and regulations of devotional service. That is the only hope. Prabhupada said, I have formed the society to create first-class brahmanas. But what kind of brahmanas did you want to create? Not simply the ritualistic smartha brahmanas, but he wanted to create real Vaishnava brahmanas. Brahmanas who were realizing the truth by becoming great devotees of Lord Krishna, who would function like the brain of the society. And he said, once the brahmanas are formed in the society, then the kshatriyas will come. Then they will be able to rule the world. And then everything will go smoothly. And as we discussed in the two Saturdays ago, today's society is like a body that has only two legs and perhaps some part of the belly. That means only the Shudras and to some extent the Vaishyas. No head, no arms. Like a ghost. What happens if you see a man who is walking only two legs and stomach? A very fearful situation. So the human society today in this modern day age has become like that. So the only hope is this Krishna consciousness movement, which is spreading the sublime principles of Bhagavad Dharma everywhere all over the world, and spreading a system of Dharma which is universal, which can be applied to all regardless of caste, creed, birth, race, religion, nationality, sex and so on. Anyone and everyone can participate in this mission. And however sinful and lowly one may be, one can reach the highest platform of pure devotional service. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very special feature in this age. So we have a very special Varnashrama system, the Daivi Varnashrama system, in which we will find everyone is a devotee. But because everyone is not a pure devotee, so everyone is not situated entirely on the spiritual platform, even though they are devotees. So certain propensities coming from earlier association with this world remain. So one has a particular nature. So even among devotees, we will notice that there is some devotee who has a business-like nature. So he can be engaged in the service of the Lord for business activities. There's somebody who likes to study. So he can be engaged in that service. So although we don't say that he's a Kshatriya, he's a Shudra, we don't say like that. But according to his propensity, even though he is a devotee, he may be engaged in that service. So that he will be happy because he is doing work according to his liking and his nature. So this is the kind of Varnashram system that we can implement in this age, practically speaking. So everyone is Vaishnava, everyone is equal, but still, according to one's propensities, one may be engaged in different kinds of work, all for the common goal of serving the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, pleasing Him, and spreading love of God everywhere, all over the world. And we seek how one person, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, made this possible. In a short span of 12 years, He established 108 temples all over the world, initiated several thousand disciples, several of them being Brahmanas, many of them taking sannyas even. And He has set up the seed of a Varnashram system for the modern age. Because He was here only for a short time, He could not do many things that He wanted to do. But even then, what He has accomplished is truly remarkable, unprecedented. But often He said, I have established these temples, I have introduced Krishna consciousness to the world, but 50% of the job is still to be done, and that is the establishment of the Varnashrama system. That is the Daivi Varnashrama system of devotees acting according to their propensities in the service of Lord Krishna. So this is the Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam for this age. Kuda Karma Vibhagashah. That is how we understand the original Varnashram Dharma, and we see how to apply that to the modern context in terms of the Bhakti Marga and the condition of the people at the present time. So there is much more to be said in this verse. We are still on the first half, and next time we will try to wind up. We will do a little bit of the second half, and we will finish it and go on to the other verses. But this subject is so important that we felt that it is necessary to discuss it, and therefore it has taken us 3 lectures to talk on this half verse. So we will stop here. We will have darshan, and after that we will have question answers, and then there will be mahaprasadam. For those of you who are staying here, please stay for prasadam. And remember, tomorrow is a very, very important day, Gita Jayanti. We will discuss more about it after the darshan. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Radha Gokulananda Radha Gokulananda Radha Gokulananda Radha Gokulananda Jayo Radha Gokulananda Radha Gokulananda Radha Gokulananda Radha Ananda Radha Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jagannatha, Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Nitai Gora Haribo, Haribo.
Are there any questions?
Spiritual realization. then how can differentiation can be made? Differentiation can be made, of course, but how can we differentiate in terms of that he will fall down from his position? Because he has attained absolute. Maybe impersonal, but he has attained the absolute. So how we can say that he has understood the truth? How we can say that he can fall down?
We are not talking of fall down here. We are talking of whose realization is superior. If a person has realized only the impersonal, if a person has realized Paramatma, or if he has realized Bhagavan, who is superior? The Brahman realization is only part realization, like the realization of the sunshine. Only the sunshine. That's all this person knows about the sun. The person who has realized Paramatma is like the person who understands not only sunshine, but also the sun globe, the sun disk. So naturally, the one who knows the sun disk also knows the sun rays. So one who has realized Paramatma has also realized Brahma, impersonal. One who understands the sun rays, the sun globe, and also the sun god residing within the sun, who is a controlling deity of the sun, he is the highest. One who understands the sun god understands all three. He understands the sun globe and also the sun rays. Similarly, one who understands God as a person, ultimately, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, he understands not only Bhagavan, but also Paramatma and the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So his realization is superior to that of the Paramatma, realizer, the yogi. And whose realization is superior to that of the one who has realized only the impersonal Brahma Jyoti? So the Brahman realized person is usually a jnani who follows the path of Jnana Yoga. The Paramatma realization is done by the Ashtanga Yogi, and Bhagavan realization is done by the Bhakta, the devotee of Lord Krishna. Okay? Any other questions?